This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Tim Lust, CEO of the National Sorghum Producers. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Tim Lust of the National Sorghum Producers next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's Crop Insurance Industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net, providing individualized protection on more than 490 million acres of farmland. Crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. The sorghum producers of the nation share a common ask of Washington for a new farm bill, complete with updated risk management tools to negotiate a more challenging economy, global competition, and unfavorable growing conditions. But Tim Lust, CEO of the National Sorghum Producer, says the nation's renewable fuel policy is a major factor in his producer's future.
E15 is just so critical to us as a potential growth. We'll look at what the sustainable aviation fuel situation can be and how that can help. And so continue to be a key part of our industry. On one hand, maybe it is only 30 to 35% of our use. But when we look at the domestic part of that use, you know, that is a huge percentage of our domestic use. So remains absolutely critical to us and something that we certainly have to continue to put the time and energy into to see it grow.
Corn growers have spent a lot of time talking about what model Washington is going to use to count in terms of overall sustainability as it pertains to fuel. Is that a story as well that fits with sorghum?
It is, and very, very supportive of the track that corn growers and others have taken there, and certainly no difference in opinion on that from our standpoint. And it's one of those that, again, part of it is just understanding and stuff that's practical and where there's data. So, you know, continues to be a good example of while there's a lot of things that we work on that are, revolutionary, in terms of things, there, you know, new models, you know, starting new models from scratch, is really hard. And so the ability to take and build on what we know is solid data is really important.
So what are your positives that you have moving forward? There's livestock demand for feed, but the energy quotient is real. There's domestic markets. There are global markets. What are the positives on the ledger that you have going for you as sorghum producers?
Well, I think certainly when we look at the sustainability discussions today, and I think often those turn to the government and what is being done with, say, the Climate Smart Grants, which certainly we are participant in, as kind of the focal point. But I think for our industry, you know, the really exciting part for me in that is the private industry situations that we're involved in. That are, you know, moving forward, in those regards and where there are, sustainability items, whether those are tied to carbon or whether those are tied to water, that are finding, commercial value, that are finding, their way into new markets and markets that become, you know, somewhat exclusive tied to those sustainability benefits. And certainly that's an area where sorghum continues to shine. Sort of an area where we continue to invest in from a trade association standpoint to make sure that private industry has the data and the tools that they need to continue to move our industry forward in those areas.
So that Sorghum Climate Smart Grant project, what are the things that you're doing and what progress can you report so far?
You know, we were prepared to get off the ground very quickly and fully intended to launch a full program in 2023. A lot of organizations had said that they would focus on 2024. But we wanted to collect the data. We wanted to be in the game. And so, you know, very proud to say we were the first one to sign a farmer contract with one of our growers in New Mexico earlier this year. We did a pilot basically of our six states that we're working in to work through the system. Certainly this is a learning process on our side, even though we've done a number of grants and projects very similar to this over the last 4 years. The size and scope of this is very different. So we're working with growers in six states. We got growers signed this year in those six states. We're collecting that data and moving through the system, working with USDA. Certainly, there's processes and procedures on our side as well as their side that have to be stand up. So, from an experience standpoint, look back of a couple of other startups in our career and what that looks like and what that takes. Certainly it is no small undertaking, but we are in the process of getting staffed up fully and certainly have got data that we're being collected. In fact, I was just told yesterday we have some harvest reports that are already starting to come in, and so we'll be getting that data and getting that data into the system quickly. And then of course, by this time next year, we'll be full blown, all the way across the board. So from our industry standpoint, it just again allows us to collect that data, that helps us tell the story. We've always had a good story on sustainability. This will just really help us to have the data to back it up.
Sorghum is a crop that can produce well in a more arid climate, but not in a desert. And your producers are in an area of the country where drought has just been very, very challenging. And I know that there were funds that were appropriated with regard to disaster. Have you seen a check yet?
You know, it's been challenging. Obviously, some of the 20 and 21 dollars were out. Obviously, announcements this week by USDA on some additional dollars to go out related to that. But by our math, there's still dollars from 20 and 21 that are waiting to go out that have not been able to come out. So still looking for those. And then certainly 22 was an exceptionally bad year for sorghum, the worst yield since 1960. A lot of our farmers, substantial challenges there. And that's the one that we're really focused on, is the 22 disaster. And unfortunately, we've been waiting 10 months, and at 10% interest, that is a lot of days with a lot of dollars coming up from an interest standpoint that growers will never get back. And so it's a challenge. It's certainly something that we continue to push to see that get out the door. A lot of back and forth on what's the structure of that program and how it's going to be done. Certainly have strong opinions on that. And the phase one approach on 20 and 21 was one that worked very simple for our growers and was very straightforward. But at this point, getting those dollars out the door is something that is really critical. A lot of our younger growers that just don't have the equity built up, it's becoming a significant issue from a finance standpoint, as well as just the interest situation on dollars that are had to be borrowed to survive the 22 crop. Certainly that disaster assistance was approved, and we look forward to being able to see those dollars flow soon. They're not going to make growers whole, but they certainly help. Obviously, this is part of the reason we're pushing a farm bill discussion right now, too, is that we certainly have real concerns about the safety net, and greatly appreciate Senator Bozeman and others on Congress really pushing to put the farm back in the farm bill and to work to get, what we can in terms of additional resources there. So, don't think any of us like to be having this disaster discussion. It's certainly a challenge, but it is also certainly one of those that, given the challenging situation and the low bar of support from a farm safety net, it is something that's been critical to our growers.
When we think of the farm bill on base acres, you've got commodity organizations that want a mandatory update, and others say voluntary, and some say none at all. Where would the sorghum producer stand on base acre updates?
We would be one of those that would be in the voluntary or none at all camp. We become a donor commodity, in terms of that. Now, when you look at individual states, there are some of our states, Kansas, our largest state, looks good in terms of a map there on what that is. But then you dig down a little deeper to the county level and where a lot of our growers are, didn't necessarily benefit. I think the other side of it is you mentioned early on in this, I've been around a long time. Boy, that's one that's a hard one. That is one that's really hard to get right on a mandatory standpoint. And there's always exceptions. There's always this or that. You know, how does CRP, change stuff or what does it mean? So just one that from our standpoint, our focus has really been on the reference price side or the safety net side. I say reference price. There's certainly multiple ways that this could be done, as we've seen over the years. But it's really about strengthening that safety net for our commodity and what can be done there.
If we look only at the sorghum portion of the farm bill, if we just look at the farm bill for sorghum producers, if we rubber stamped that in a new bill, would it be adequate to face the challenges that your producers are seeing now? And could it be adequate for what they may see in the next 5 years?
I think that's one of the challenges. I think we're obviously not oblivious to the financial situation of this country and where we're at from a dollar standpoint. But I think if you ask us, if I understood your question right, would we support a status quo bill? No, let's do an extension, because I think without new resources and an updated safety net, I think there's real challenges. I know there's real challenges when we look at cost of production, across, all segments of our farms. It is substantial. And, from a safety net standpoint, without additional resources, it becomes a situation that I am one of those children of the 80s farm crisis. I was in my formative years and saw what it did in our operation and our family situation. And when I look at how cost of production has gone up on our sorghum operations across the country the last 5 years, certainly it is a scary scenario. And so certainly we're going to be, we're appreciative of those that are pushing for additional resources and believe that that is just critical to a successful bill.
Tim, there have been commodity organizations and general farm organizations, whose delegates said if there was ever a time to spend more money on a farm bill for farm programs, this is it. But yet in Washington now you have some fiscal conservatives that not only do they not want to spend as much money as was appropriated back in 18, they would rather take those numbers back to several years ago. Where does the rubber meet the road with regard to spending on farm programs? What is an adequate safety net, and what producers need?
When you get into these situations, think it's important to step back and look at, are we talking apples to apples or apples to oranges? And so I think if you look at what has been spent in the farm safety net, and then if you look at what has been spent offline through disaster assistance, there is a way to go back and definitely put a program together that saves the federal government money on dollars that is outlaid over the last 5 years or pick your time period. That definitely can be fiscally conservative from that standpoint of what has actually gone out the door. Does that necessarily fit within the budget baselines and some of the current day scoring? No, it doesn't. And I think that's the trade-off, and that's the apples and oranges discussion that is certainly alive and well and back and forth. But, at the end of the day, I think the dollars actually spent is what the real number is. And I do believe there's an opportunity to work within that to still be a good stewards of overall taxpayer dollars, but do it in a way that provides certainty at the farm level. When we talk to our leadership, they talk about certainty. What what can we have from a certainty standpoint that we can go make business decisions on? We know we may have to cut back. We may have to do these things different than what we've done in the future, but what is that certainty? And I think that's the challenge right now is, with everything going on, from a congressional standpoint, with everything going on from a farm bill expiring, there's just no certainty right now for our leadership, for our membership. And so certainly, that is something that is a concern right now.
Tim, at the time of our conversation, there is no FY24 budget for USDA FDA. And there have been a number of amendments that are clear headwinds to the status quo of policy that we have right now. There are groups that would like to go after premium support, with regard to, crop insurance. If that happens, what does that mean?
Well, I think, part of what has made crop insurance successful, over the last decade or two, has been the ability to have a number of participants on both the AIP side, and companies that are willing to sell the products, as well as having a large percentage of growers involved and paying premium in. When you start chipping away at that on either side, you take people out of the equation that are helping hold costs down today. And I think that's the challenge that we see. So we continue to be very supportive of crop insurance, even though there's a lot of crop insurance built into sorghum, and even though we're a crop that frankly could survive, more than others could without it. It is also still a critical safety net for our growers, particularly our young growers as they're getting started. And as has been mentioned, for whatever reason, we can't seem to catch a break on a summer rain, and have just had some very challenging years the last 5 years in terms of production and where that's at. So continue to be extremely supportive of the crop insurance program, and it is truly still the cornerstone of farm policy for many of our growers.
There are antagonists to checkoff programs in Washington. If they are successful in reducing or dismantling checkoffs, how does that affect your organization? How would that affect the industry overall?
Well, I think, as you look at that from across the board, a lot of commodities have been able to make progress for their growers in terms of needs that were there in one form or fashion. So I think you continue to see a large swell of support there. Certainly not everyone is going to be supportive of that. Again, over my career, been around long enough to see that, but I think overall continues to be a lot of support there for the programs and continue to be certainly important to our commodity.
I'm not trying to pick a fight here, but this is a pretty straightforward question. There are a number of commodity organizations and farmers that might look at decisions that have been made by the EPA on waters of the U.S., on renewable fuels, and on challenges to pesticides that are very important to producers to protect their crops, and ask a simple question of whose side are you on anyway? How do you see the agriculture working relationship with EPA? Because headwinds appear to be coming from the regulatory angle.
Well, I think it is certainly a tense time. Again, I've seen these relationships go up and go down over time. I think it is clear to say that we're in a tense time right now. From our industry standpoint, the intersection of the Endangered Species Act and some of the lawsuits that have been affiliated with that, tied to the practicalities of how are any of these programs going to go forward and how are we going to maintain any crop protection products, is one that I have huge concerns over. A couple of the products that are going through the system first are some of the safest products that we have known to man that have been around a long time with tremendous amounts of scientific evidence of their safety. Yet some of these models are showing that they're just going to go away or have to go away on millions and millions of acres. And so it is something that we continue to be heavily involved in. have serious concerns about it, and I think it's one of those that, again, when we look at competitiveness with our international competitors, you know, we talk sometimes about between commodities domestically, but let's not forget who our international competitors are and what overall U.S. agriculture is competing against around the world. And if those countries have use to all of these crop protection tools and we don't, we're at a serious disadvantage. So continue to be very focused on that as a commodity. Continue to work closely with EPA, to make sure that those mitigations and things that are being proposed make logical sense, can actually be implemented on the farm level, and can practically be done. But it is something that I would say that, you know, certainly it's in probably the top one or two time periods of my career in terms of the tense situation across multiple different areas there.
I've talked to a number of leaders who say with regard to energy policy in the nation, it needs to be an all-of-the-above approach. Is the administration picking favorites between renewable fuels and electric vehicles?
Well, I just will say that I think the all-of-the-above is critically important. And, you have to be able to walk before you can run. And we know that biofuels are a part of the solution. We know they are a critical part of the solution. You can pull up into any pump in America, and you can see that every day. You can see the savings. You can see what it has meant from a national security standpoint for this country, and it is a proven economic development machine that can and has shown that it can scale and is a part of our economy today that is so critical. And before you go, you know, trying to move into other areas that there's still many, many questions on, I think it's something that has to be talked about. We're part of a power grid network, and from an agriculture standpoint, every time there's a potential power shortage, electricity shortage, our growers get a text that says their sprinkler systems are going to be shut off because they're first to go down. And it's really, you know, challenging when we're in some of these discussions about how we're going to do all of this more. Well, we can't even, well, we're concerned, all summer whether we're going to have our sprinklers shut off, because we don't have enough supply.
Tim, if we look at the needs of your industry, what are the top one or top two that you absolutely have to have from Washington now?
Well, I think, you know, it goes without saying, but, a farm safety net, is there. I mean, I think I mentioned first on the front end, we need disaster assistance out the door. And we need that out now. I think from a farm bill standpoint, we're kind of sitting here at a time where, okay, now we've pushed back. So now maybe December or maybe early next year. But, you know, even in that, we haven't seen a lot of detail. And when we look at farm bill processes, you know, these things take time after they come out to get drafts and be able to work back through that with your membership and leadership to see where you're at and then work through the process. So, in light of all the other challenges, we certainly recognize leadership's challenges on both sides of bringing forward that farm bill process right now with all the other things going on politically. But it will be important for our growers to get into that process so we have certainty in knowing where we're at as we get further into 24, which is just right around the corner.
Well, Tim Less, we thank you for 30 years of service to the sorghum producers of the nation and also your career in agriculture. Thank you for taking time to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. Tim, you've been here before, and today you know sorghum producers have the last word.
Well, I'm going to focus on what our future concern is and where our industry's really focused. And, Mark Twain said that whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. I think sorghum has a great opportunity to help us avoid some major fights that are coming in terms of water. Sorghum is certainly a part of that solution. We continue to see strong growth in sorghum from both a forage standpoint and a grain standpoint. But there are a lot of challenges still coming in front of us that make some of these other discussions we've had today seem pretty mild. So we'll continue to focus on the future and water and where sorghum fits as part of that solution.
Our thanks to Tim Lust, CEO of the National Sorghum Producers, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nally.